This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Indiana back within six. All going to come down to, can they get the stops here? Jokic is lobbing it up. Brown hangs and lays it in.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Forced to play this one out. McDaniels, the option here. He's the first option. Will drive on Caruso, who commits the foul. And McDaniels lays it up and in. He's going to go to the line to tie this game.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
And now you get the switch. You get Filipowski on Anthony Simons, and now the defense is rotating.
Off it comes to Avia. Wow, a big three offered up by Denny Avia to put the Blazers on top by eight.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080, The Fan.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland's sports leader, 1080, The Fan. Good morning. Happy Tuesday, everybody.
What is happening?
I think we should give a, not an actual standing because I'm just, my headphones are all a mess, but a hypothetical standing ovation. First responders, PGE, Pacific Power, all the...
well done yesterday.
The
well
power
done.
People were great.
Well done.
Great
we had a tornado. We had thunderstorms going on.
That's wild. Man.
It was absolute madness yesterday. The Sprague's lost power
for
a chunk of the evening.
We had a couple of flickers there.
Ooh, a little concerning.
Then it went off.
Uh-oh.
And then it came back on.
Uh-oh.
And then it went off.
Is
and then
working?
It came back on.
Uh-oh.
I'm like, all right. And then it went off.
Gone for a while. A little concerning when it flickers like that.
We had two waves. We had the, 3:45, 4 o'clock in the afternoon wave that came through the west side. And then we had another one after dinner around 7 o'clock.
Yeah, we had one, I want to say, close to 8. And then I'll be honest with you, this morning when I was getting ready in my kitchen at 4 a.m., it was howling out where I
just
was.
Howling,
it was
just
windy
blowing.
All night.
Yeah, the wind didn't stop. I didn't hear a single thing of thunder all night.
I didn't hear any thunder.
I was bummed.
Yeah, we got
man.
Thunder at 4, and then we were just finishing up cleaning up the kitchen and stuff from dinner.
Oh, you didn't hear any yesterday? Like,
none
day.
At
oh,
all.
No, I heard two bouts of thunder.
I got nothing. No lightning, no thunder, nothing.
I'm
a little disappointed because I love a good thunderstorm.
I heard the thunder. In fact, I was playing in my driveway with my daughter basketball.
Just shooting some hoops.
And I looked at the clouds and I went, that don't look good.
Let's go to the shelter now.
Make one more. We're going in.
Get underground. Here it comes.
The lightning hit a family friend of ours, hit her tree in their yard.
Whoa.
Yeah.
What happened to the tree? I'm assuming split down?
Split some of it off.
Yeah. Just kind of, there it goes.
Trees are resilient, man. They took that lightning bolt and it was still standing.
Dude, they are resilient SOBs. Every time it's super windy like that, and you know you got 50-mile-an-hour gusts, you just look out, and you're like, that's a big-ass tree. And I don't know how you're still standing right now, but somehow you're still standing, man, and that's a remarkable thing.
Storms like that are exciting, they're interesting, and when the power gets knocked out, you're like, God damn it.
This sucks, dude. It's fun. Thunderstorms are all fun and games until they impact you that way. I also realized over the years how woefully unprepared I am for a power outage.
Well, in what way?
I mean, just no other source of power, first off. I don't know how many. I have maybe one flashlight that's readily available and findable outside of a flashlight on your phone.
You got candles?
Not, I mean, we got candles kind of around the house, but not really. You know, you got to go find them at that point. This time of year when you lose power, too, it's a bitch because it's so dark out so early. Like, it's one thing if you lose power in the middle of the summer and it goes out at 5 o'clock for 2 hours. It's still light out. Like, you just open up the windows, you can go outside, it's not that big of a deal. Mm. But when you lose power this time of year and it's like 5 o'clock, you're just sitting there in pitch black darkness.
So we didn't have power. I had to cook. I was cooking spaghetti. Thankfully, I had thawed turkey meat just in time.
That's good.
I cooked it. I added the sauce. So the spaghetti sauce is basically done.
You just got some sauce.
I had just started boiling noodles. Power goes out.
Uh-oh.
And I'm like,
Come on. No other way to cook those.
And my daughter has practice, hoops practice, at 5:30.
Got to have a meal in your stomach when you're going to hoops practice.
And she's like, Dad, I'm so hungry. And I'm like, oh, damn it.
Got a carbo load.
And then I went, oh, yeah, I have a Blackstone. I have a propane tank. So I go out to my garage with my cell phone light. I put it upside down on a table. The garage is somewhat lit.
Got to get creative.
I get that Blackstone going.
We're cooking noodles on the Blackstone?
We warmed up the sauce and we cooked the noodles
on
the Blackstone.
Look at you.
And,
ingenuity.
Got it just in time. Turned everything off. Went to practice. The creepy part was on the way home, we're going down Sunnyside because going up Highway 212, we saw a massive backup because the lights were out.
Yeah.
So it's one car at a time. So we go down Sunnyside. Unbeknownst to us, that entire side of Sunnyside is black.
Just out.
Nobody had power, no restaurant, no business, no house, no apartment complex. Completely black. Lights are out. Crazy looking to just go down that strip.
It's weird when you see that much darkness
and see no light at all.
Yeah, and then everybody, the chaos of like four-way stops at every intersection just throws everything for a loop.
I think people have this idea mainly because of movies. I know I do at times, like where you lose something like that and in the movie it becomes mass hysteria.
Yep.
Whereas like I'm driving and everybody is stopping, we're taking our proper turns. And then we're going.
Following protocol. Like, nobody's cheating.
I don't actually think in those instances people would have mass hysteria. I think people actually come together.
We work together as one.
I kind of,
understanding the rules of the road.
Hell yeah.
Being respectful of our fellow man.
It was a nice reminder of like, hey man, we probably don't like each other,
no.
But like,
my time isn't more important than your time.
Right.
We're all going to get there eventually.
Right. You got here before me. You go, and then I will go, and then you will go, and then they will go. Yeah. It was a nice reminder.
Every time I lose power, I do think to myself, it's one of those, like, I'm definitely going to do this, and then I never end up doing it, and I don't know if I ever will. Every time the power goes out, I think to myself, I'm getting a generator.
Mm.
And then I see those ads.
Do you even know what kind of generator you need?
No clue, dude. No clue. I got no expertise in that line of work, but there's one of the, like, not a lot of advertising will rope me in, but sometimes the ones that do, you see the ads for like the solar generated ones that you just leave out in the sun and they can fully charge. And every time I see that ad, I'm like, dude, I'm going to buy that. I'm totally going to get that. And then I don't get it. And then you lose power again. You're like, damn it. I didn't get the generator that time.
You don't scream survivalist.
No, I got no skill. I got nothing, man.
I would say then you need to really pay attention to the advertising of one Three Mountains Home Services.
Yes, they got generators.
They'll install it for you, too.
Yes, they will, which I desperately need.
And they'll say, Andy, hit this button if you lose your power, right, and your whole house will be okay.
See, why don't I do that?
I'm going to do it at some point.
You're going to do it.
I am. And I told the wife this literally a week ago. I kick around the idea.
We should get one. The power's going to probably go out again at some point.
And then a week later, we lose our power. And I'm like, damn it.
It's always one of those, like, in the heat of the moment, right after the power goes out and then comes back on, you tell yourself you're going to do it. And then you kind of forget. It goes to the back burner. No pun intended. And then a week or two goes by, you kind of forget, slips out of the memory, and then 2 months later, you lose power again. You're like, damn it, why didn't I get that generator last time?
So what do you think, Swigard, is the percentage of people that you would, quote, label survivalists? Because I would say 95% of people
Correct.
Would not fall into that demo.
Correct. It's a very, very small percentage.
Very small percentage.
And what is that anyway? A survivalist.
You got a Bunsen burner over
there? I think if Dirt needed to, he would find a way to survive. I think you underestimate the human ability of like...
No. There's
go drive to a McDonald's with the lights on?
Can I have find beans one of those? In a can.
No, survivalists are people that are prepared for the big one.
the people who live
like
by
they
themselves
know what they're doing
and are Looney Tunes.
Yeah, they got a year's supply.
Their lives are already miserable.
Well, exactly. I got a cellar underneath my house with 2 years worth of food supplies and water supplies down there in case I need it.
I don't doubt the resourcefulness of the people in this room, but the preparedness is what separates survivalists.
Yeah,
if that's
a survivalist, I'd rather not be a survivalist.
I understand that. That's why it's a very small niche.
Constantly scared and hate and scared of human, and you live by yourself and you're isolated. Yeah. And you're
nobody wants to do
that. I've got water. I can survive. You guys will die.
The other one that I always tell myself I'm going to do and then I never end up doing is because you just never know when the power outage is going to come and you don't know how long it's going to last. It could be an extended power outage. It could be two hours, right? Like we have somebody in Estacada texting in saying they still don't have power.
Yeah, my light was still blinking this morning.
Trees are out everywhere. This is a delightful, fun evening. Yeah. I always tell myself, make sure you have a couple of things downloaded on a tablet that you could watch to just entertain yourself.
Before your battery dies.
And I never do. And then the power goes out and you look, you're like, all right, now I got nothing to watch.
Yeah. That is.
Now I just have to sit here in darkness with my own
candy
thoughts.
Candy Crush for you for 5 hours.
Just stewing my own thoughts. I don't want that. Somebody distract me.
That might be the thing that my kids, they failed at this yesterday, actually, because I was like, well.
Oh, they didn't charge their devices?
Well,
you got to have devices charged. If you know a storm's coming, you plug those things in.
I can't wait for Teddy Ballgame to get to a certain age when Dirk gets his iPad.
Yeah.
Because it's
the kid iPad.
Yeah. No. It's going to be labeled your Dirk, this is yours.
This is my iPad.
My wife was like, I'm going to get you an iPad. You get an iPad for work purposes.
Yay.
You can watch TV. It's your iPad.
Where the hell's my iPad?
Guess who has the iPad?
Where did it go?
98% of the time, and it's always dead.
The youngest one?
The little terrorist.
You go grab it, and it's 4% battery, right, and the power's out. Like, this is cool. I'm not going to be able to do anything with this.
Not often do I want to be Homer Simpson choking out his own kid, but there are a lot of moments.
Oh! Oh, you little...
This could be 6 hours. What the hell do you want me to do here? Can't just sit you in to read a book by candlelight. What is it, 1914?
Let me just give you an example of what I say. We don't allow our kid to use the iPad during the week. During school week, no iPad. You get it on the weekend, and we probably give her a little too much screen time from time to time on the weekends. You know, she's playing Roblox or something, and it's like... Hey, how long have you been on that?
It's been 2 hours.
I don't know. You're like, oh, I think it's been 2 hours. Get off of it.
What happened here?
But yesterday, the power comes back on, and I get home, and I'm like, you guys better charge that in case it goes out again, so you at least got something to watch if, you know, we're bored. And so, again, I don't know this. I go upstairs to do work on my work laptop. Guess what charger also works for the iPad? My work laptop charger. Guess whose laptop gets unplugged and gets plugged into the iPad, and so when I open my work computer, the computer instantly dies.
Just no battery.
This guy.
Hey.
This guy.
Oh, well done.
They've stolen my battery and my iPad. Well, seemingly ruined my work laptop and stolen my iPad from
me. Now you no longer will be entertained, nor will you be able to get any work done.
Unbelievable.
That's a two for Mondays, what they call those. Nice little combo package. One listener saying they're still without power, which means no coffee this morning, so I'm pissed. That's brutal.
I'm driving to a place. I'm going to get coffee.
You have to at that point.
I'm treating myself.
On your way to work, you got to stop somewhere and go get the largest caffeinated coffee you
can
find.
You know what? You listener, you text in. Is that a YouTube or a listener?
We're not
text
on
line?
YouTube currently. So I think the tornado knocked down YouTube.
But no, we're live.
No, we're not live. We're not. We do this every time. We're not live. I know. And then we say it's live.
You have to close it and restart it. It's lying to you. It's not real.
It's not live.
Trust us on this. We are younger than you.
We are.
You are not an internet baby.
No, we are.
I would tell that person they should text in their Venmo user. Dirt will Venmo you enough money. Go get a coffee.
Oh, I'm buying people coffees this
very
morning.
Very nice of Dirt.
Wow,
yeah.
How generous of me.
Dirt just sold a house. He's balling right
now. Well, not quite yet. We got to get to Friday. Let's get to Friday. That was the other thing, too. I'm like, did my old house lose power last night? It probably did. Did it come back on? I don't know.
If you were in, because you're not very far from me.
What are the settings at? Did the heat turn on to like 84? What am I going to walk into next time I walk into that joint?
Will you ever walk into that house again?
I mean, we got to go clean up a couple of things. We're going to go vacuum the rugs, mop the floors one last time. Closing day is on Friday. Closing day. So I'm sure I'll walk into some sort of mess. But there's no food in the fridge or freezer. So thankfully, nothing to worry about there.
I told my wife, I'm like, this is kind of why I hate living in this area.
Dude, we would lose at that house. We would lose power randomly every 6 weeks.
We get that mountain wind. It just, God.
And all of our power in the old neighborhood is below ground, too, which made it so frustrating. Because I remember when we moved in, we're like, this is all the power, because of the wind and the place and where it's located, it's all underground when they built it, which you would think...
Wouldn't that be better for...
You would think it would be ideal, because no power lines can come down in our neighborhood, but then it's the connecting power lines to the neighborhood that supply
it. That's the big transformer at the substation.
Somebody runs into a telephone pole 5 miles away, and it's just... Okay, cool. No power for the rest of the evening. This is great.
Never forget the ice storm we had years ago. I was living in Oregon City, and right outside my window was a big transformer. And I remember, like, being a quarter awake, but being asleep enough where I was dreaming, and the transformer blowing up at, like, 3 a.m.
That's a nice little sound to wake up to.
Was an alien coming to Earth and abducting us.
Did you get probed?
Because the lights were blue and green, so it went... out my window. I like saw it, but I was still dreaming, and so I'm like in my dream like, oh my god, the aliens are here. And then I woke up, I'm like, no, I think that was the trance. Yep, power's out.
Great. This is gonna be fun to deal with.
And I didn't get to be in my house for 3 days. We lost power for 3 days.
3 days is brutal.
Was a bad ice storm.
It's one, I love how too then you immediately go to your you know, PGE or wherever your company is, and you start looking at your outage map and how long, when are they gonna update it? Have they found the cause yet? It just is an endless journey to try and get power back.
I don't know who's losing jobs anymore in this country at this rate, but I would just say I better not hear anything about PGE or Pacific Power people randomly being fired via email.
Let's keep those people employed.
Mighty important people.
Yes.
Thank you, everybody.
In the middle of a thunderstorm.
Yeah, great job by you.
We had like a tornado in Silverton or something yesterday.
Did we? That was confirmed?
I believe that we had a tornado in Silverton. Yes. That's what the online people were telling me, okay. So I don't know if it's confirmed or not, but I'm going to go ahead and believe it.
The internet never lies.
We got a
busy show today. Max Chadwick, we got an early ticker. Doesn't happen we have an early ticker on this program, but it happens today. Max Chadwick, a Pro Football Focus, is going to join us. He is covering the NFL draft. The combine starts this week.
Who's going to throw? Who's not going to throw?
Who's going to edge rush? Who's not going to edge rush? Who's going to running back? Who's not going to running back? Suddenly, Shedeur Sanders not alone and not doing anything at the combine.
Nah, he's the only one.
Everybody I love that else. That was a big deal. And then all these other big name players, including Heisman finalists, were like, nah, I ain't doing anything.
Well, they have valid excuses, and they're not Nepo babies, Sprague, okay?
Oh,
figure this out.
The Nepo baby who wasn't amazing in Colorado and helped turn it around. Okay.
Nah, guy was a bomb.
So we'll talk with Max Chadwick. Coming up here in about 20 minutes at 6:30, he'll join us and give us his thoughts on the NFL draft. I want to start here, though. Do we like this or do we not like this? Next on The Fan.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
We'll get to Max Chadwick at the bottom of the hour for the Daily Ticker today. We are efforting to get on YouTubes, the YouTubes.
We're trying the old unplug it, blow on the cartridge, and then plug it back in thing. We'll see if that works out.
If you just want the real truth here, we are the show of the shows at the station that have to do that.
Yeah.
It just, every day we come in, I think it's because, like, we have an audio recording program on our computers called Adobe Audition.
Yes, we do.
And so you cut up audio, that's how we make the audio magic here. If I leave that thing open for over a day, and then I maximize it back up, record something, I'd say about 79% of the time, it will just randomly close on me because it's just been running the whole time.
Yeah.
Now, you could say that's probably shouldn't be happening, and I'd say, yeah, but it's an older version, so
yeah,
that's why. That's kind of what happens with us in the morning. We just kind of have to come in.
Unplug it,
plug it back in.
Get some blow on that cartridge and then plug that bad boy back in. We'll be good to go.
It's probably the one thing I wish my kids got to experience in their lives is the video game.
When, like, the cartridge gets, why isn't it working? Get the dust off it. Okay, now we're good. Plug it back. Yes, we're good.
But if that blow into the video game didn't work, you had to then crouch down and do the same thing
yes.
in the system as
yes.
well. Make sure all the dust is out.
Never-ending battle to try and get those video games to work again.
And you could say that didn't work, but man, I got a lot of evidence otherwise.
I feel like it was an 80% hit rate.
I feel too.
Like it was pretty solid. Not every
too.
Time, but for the majority of the time, that worked out.
And then the constant reset, the hit the reset button. God, video games used to be so fun to just
so
get
fun.
Going.
You got to go on channel 3, you got to blow on the cartridge. It was a whole thing back in the day.
Yesterday, a team, according to this report of the NFL, suggested to the Rules Committee and Troy Vincent, they filed a motion to ban the tush push, the brotherly shove. And it wasn't known who did it until later in the afternoon. The Green Bay Packers.
You're damn right they did. I'm now forever a Packer fan. Go, Pack, go.
So you want this ban?
I do. I have no rationale. There's no reasoning. There's no logic other than I don't like it. And I know that pisses people off, but I don't care.
Does it piss people off?
It pisses Eagle fans off of, like, wait, you just can't stop it, so you want to ban it? It's like, yeah, that's basically it. It's dumb. It's a cheap play. Nobody else can do it to the level you do it at. My favorite thing, though, from the night after this came out, the Green Bay did it, was there was a play. It was the Green Bay at Atlanta game. I can't remember what week it was.
I saw this.
But there was a highlight going around of Green Bay trying to run a quarterback sneak in which Jordan Love thinks he's hiking the ball. The ball doesn't get hiked to him, and he proceeds to sneak on his own without the ball.
His body weirdly just falls forward.
Nobody else is moving, and he's just awkwardly falling over the line. Like, that's a false start, a 5-yard penalty. So I understand the critique of this push to ban, but I am in 100% support of the Green Bay Packers in this cause.
I can't stand it.
I hate the play.
I think most people are actually with you. I don't know if there's a lot of outrage outside of Philadelphia one way or the other. I can understand the argument of, like, so we're banning a play because it works too well for one team.
Yeah, that's the only reasoning.
Now, it should be noted they led the league in quarterback rushes near the goal line, but they were only fourth in fourth down conversion rate. Also, what's the average?
How many of those are fourth and one, fourth and a half
yard? Versus fourth and four, fourth and five. I'm okay with them banning it, mainly because it's not aesthetically pleasing to watch.
It's so dumb. When they get down to the 1 yard line at the goal line, it just...
Well, and then also
the inevitability of it sucks.
You have the Washington stuff. They do the hard count, and the team's jumping on, and then the refs like, if they do it again, it's a free touchdown. You're like, well, but tell the Eagles to stop doing the false count, man.
Yes, there's no other way to stop this play. That's the only option that is left. You can't beat them going low, so now you got to beat them going high, and when you go high, you're going to jump off sides from time to time.
Chris Jones, one of the best defensive tackles to ever exist.
Yes.
Literally in the Super Bowl, laid on his side thinking maybe this is the way to help.
Just roll around on the ground.
And instead got neck pain and then got his ass kicked in the Super Bowl. So, like, I would be A-okay with them getting rid of this play. It's not aesthetically pleasing. I also don't think in football we should be allowed to shove.
That's the biggest one
for me. I don't like the bush push, the brotherly shoving stuff. Jalen Hurts picking it up on a quarterback sneak
is one thing
because he can squat 650 pounds. Okay, like that's cool. That's a strength by him. Having like three players behind and it's just this mass chaos. And half the time, Jalen Hurts isn't even on the ground. He's just like being carried.
Yeah, he's just like crowd surfing essentially over the offensive line.
I don't like it. No. And we care so much about chop blocking. I also find it interesting we're just allowing the offensive line to just take out ankles and knees at guys.
Just dive into the legs of defensive
low
line.
Man wins, Sprague. It's like, well, I don't like it. So I'm actually with you. And I think most people are. Get rid of it. And, you know, if the Packers take a little bit of a beating publicly for being the team that filed the motion.
Good for them for standing up for what's right.
They debated this last year. Yeah. They tabled it. They went with some other stuff, and now it is back. I hope it goes away.
I don't think it's going to go away. I feel like this is one that will come up every offseason, and whether it's Green Bay or a different team, somebody will propose, can we find a way to cancel this play? I feel like you hit on, though, the fair compromise here. Like, nobody's gonna say you can't run a quarterback sneak. Nobody's going to say that play has to be outlawed in the NFL. It's simply the idea of pushing a player on fourth and inches over the first down marker.
Stop pushing
every
my tush.
Every rule benefits the offense in football.
Yep.
Literally every rule benefits the offense. And this is one where, as a defense, there's just nothing that you can do.
Even like
when
most
properly operated
on the offense feel like they benefit the offense. Like, why is a false start?
Yeah, why is a defensive holding penalty on 3rd and 17, which is a 5-yard first down, an automatic first down, instead of just, how about a 10-yard? It's 10 yards on the offense when they hold. Why don't we just give them a 10-yard penalty, and then if it's 3rd and 17, now it's 3rd and 7. You get a 10-yard penalty, you replay the down.
Why is holding a 10-yard penalty while it's a false start 5? You should know the snap count. You should be more penalized
for that. That's on you. You're the one who has that information when you're at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, you're the only one who knows it.
You're it. The defense doesn't have any clue. Every time you watch it, I want to scream into the void because it's boring, it's stupid, it's not real. It's rugby is what it is. And if you could find a common ground here of saying, hey, you want a quarterback sneak, do it all you want. You want your offensive lineman to go low, do it all you want. But not allowing three 275-pound tight ends and a fullback and a running back, whoever else you got in the backfield, to get behind Jalen Hurts or whoever the quarterback is and shove him forward as he crowd surfs over the offensive line, that should be the banned play. And this isn't even just a tush-push thing. This stuff drives me nuts when you got guys like in the open field and they're refusing to go down. And then you get the offensive lineman wall that comes and just slowly starts pushing the guy forward. But since his forward progress hasn't technically been stopped, it's like, let's just give him 5 more yards. I can't stand any of that stuff. Pushing should be disallowed in football. And that's an easy common ground here that I feel like we can all come to an agreement on.
Yeah, it's one little thing, and people may disagree with my point on this. It's a final point I'll make, and then we'll go to Max Chadwick for the ticker. You know, it's an underrated thing here, but to help the defenses, and sometimes my team would not benefit from this, right? I think everybody's team would not benefit from this. I hate forward progress.
Yeah.
Like, where the guy gets tackled
and then pushed backwards 3 yards.
You know what? He lost the 3 yards.
He did.
I see a guy
held his ground.
He gets whipped backwards 4 yards, and the ref's 4 yards up. And I'm like, I hate that.
Yeah.
help the defense a little bit.
A little bit. If I can drive you back. If you don't want to get driven back, then go to the ground. You caught the ball. That's your forward progress. Fall down. You get the ball right there.
Right.
You don't need to get those extra yards out of it.
I hate seeing a tackle 5 yards behind where the ref is marking the line of scrimmage. I'm like, this is stupid. Why do we do forward progress? I don't like it.
Drives me nuts, man. Drives me nuts.
Old man football takes. There you go. Green Bay Packers filing a motion to get rid of the tush push. Let's talk about the NFL draft and some other NFL dealings with Max Chadwick of PFF.com for the Daily Ticker. An early one next on The Fan.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is poured by Pelican Brewing, your local coastal brewery. Independently brewing since 1996. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach.
Our apologies. We are not on YouTube this morning. Not yet.
Audio might be working, but you're not going to give
me. I don't know what the camera is. Technical issues are happening. Swag is definitely not going to be able to fix this. We need somebody more experienced to help us with this.
Somebody help, please.
But today's Daily Ticker, an early edition here, brought to you by Pelican Brewing, who brings you today's ticker with four locations along the Oregon coast. Fly over to a Pelican location, enjoy epic views and local brews all year long. Pelican Brewing looks forward to seeing you at the coast. And our good friend Max Chadwick of PFF, football analyst at PFF, also the co-host of PFF's college football show. And he definitely hates your school, is getting ready for the NFL Combine, and the NFL Draft is just around the corner. This is probably one of his favorite times of the year because he gets to mix both the NFL and the college game. He's on Twitter, at CFB Max Chadwick. Good morning, Max. Thanks for hopping on with us. I want to start with a topic we were doing yesterday, and I want to get you as the tiebreaker here. My co-host loves Abdul Carter, as do I. I think he's a stud player. We watched him all year at Penn State. He maybe can't miss, but the Tennessee Titans are on the clock, and Will Levis sucks. Cam Ward says, don't pass me up. I think Cam Ward's going to be really good. My co-host not as convinced. I don't know where you lie on Cam Ward, but when you're a team with no quarterback and you were advising the Tennessee Titans, who would you tell them to take at number one in the NFL draft?
Ooh, good question, guys. Honestly, I probably would go with a quarterback. I actually think Shador Sanders might be my number one quarterback in this class. I think he just sees the game at such a high level, and I understand that the ceiling maybe isn't as high as a guy like Cam Ward, but I think the floor is just so high, and there's still some gunslinger tendencies with Cam Ward that you got to get rid of. Like, kind of reminds me of Jordan Love in a lot of ways. So I like Shador Sanders a lot. I think he might be who I go with number one, and it's actually pretty interesting because Brian Callahan, the head coach of the Titans, he used to be the Bengals offensive coordinator, and he said that when he watched Shador Sanders, he actually sees some Joe Burrow in him. So clearly he likes what he sees in Shador Sanders, and I think he's still in the running for the number one overall pick, in my opinion.
How much of a concern is the Abdul Carter injury that he's coming off of? He's not going to participate at the Combine this weekend. Anything lingering there, or is that not a concern for NFL teams?
I don't think it's a concern, really. I think, you know, it sucks that he can't go out there and compete at the Combine because he would be one of the best athletes in attendance. So that does stink that we're not going to be able to see just what his numbers are. But we should get them at Penn State's Pro Day. And, yeah, like you said, it's a shoulder injury that happened about a month ago. So I'm not really too concerned about that, and that should not really affect him in the pre-draft process at all.
Max, where are you at on Travis Hunter? I really liked Travis Hunter. I thought he was a lot of fun to watch in college. I had no problems with him winning the Heisman. If you give it to him or Ashton Jeanty, I would have been fine with either one. Had a great college career. I, as a non-PFF employee, I really struggle with the idea that you take him with even in the top five. I mean, probably an elite cornerback, I think, is what he's going in as, but people still think he's going to try to do both side stuff in the NFL. Where are you at on taking Travis Hunter in the top 3 to 5?
Honestly, I think he's the best non-quarterback in the draft, honestly. And I would personally, if I needed everything on my team and besides quarterback, say, I probably would take him first, honestly. I think he's that special with talent. And listen, I think he can play a little bit of both, right? I think he can be a full-time corner, can play like maybe 15 to 20 snaps a game at wide receiver. I mean, that saves you a roster spot on for a team, right? So that's very valuable in itself. Obviously, he's playing two of the most valuable positions in the NFL, and corner and wide receiver is very valuable too. I think he's a special, special talent. And I think, honestly, if he played one or the other just full-time, you can make an argument he's the best corner in the draft, and he may even be at least a top two or three receiver in the draft as well.
Is there a team that's obvious for you just looking at the way that – I know there could be trades, but if the draft order doesn't largely change, and let's say the top 10, is there a team that really sticks out for you that makes a ton of sense to take Hunter?
Yeah, absolutely. I think in the top five especially, I think the New England Patriots, number four overall, should really be targeting him. I think he's a guy that can help out Drake May as a receiver and then also form one of the best corner pairings in the NFL with Christian Gonzalez. And then if he does not go number four overall, I think Jacksonville should sprint the card in number five overall because you can get Trevor Lawrence another weapon there, which is very much needed. There's rumors that Christian Kirk might not be there that much longer in Jacksonville. So if you can get Travis Hunter and Brian Thomas Jr. as a duo, that'd be fantastic. And then also Jacksonville has a really big need at corner right now. So I think Travis Hunter, honestly, I think at minimum should be the number five overall pick.
We got our eyes out here in the Northwest on a couple of Ducks who might have the chance to be drafted in the first round. Seems like there's a pretty good chance. Josh Connerly, after the year that he had at left tackle, and then Derek Armitage transferring in from Michigan State. I've seen a lot of mocks that have him going in the first round. So I'm just curious where you're at on both those guys and if there's anybody else from Northwest schools that you see maybe slipping into a first-round pick position.
Yeah, I think Connerly especially. Connerly's a guy I could very much see going in the first round. I think he's a very clean tackle prospect overall. He's been really good pass protector at Oregon over the last couple of years. And then, like you said, Derek Harmon had a massive breakout year, I felt like, this past year as both a run defender and pass rusher. I could see him going in the first round. I don't know if I would take Harmon in the first round, but at this point, I've seen a lot of mocks and from hearing from some people that he might be end up being a first-round pick. So those two especially, I'm very, very high on. And I don't really know – I'm trying to think of other Northwest schools that will have first-round picks, and there probably are some of them, but those are the two, especially at the top. Like you just mentioned, those two right there are pretty clearly the top two guys, it feels like, from the Northwest.
PFF football analyst and co-host of PFF's College Football Show, Max Chadwick, our guest here for the Daily Ticker on Twitter, at CFB, Max Chadwick. A lot of hype about the tight ends in this draft. We know Tyler Warren is an absolute stud. How many can't-miss tight ends are in this draft, according to you?
Can't miss, I would probably say two. And it as in, like, I would take two tight ends in the first round. And honestly, it's pretty rare to have any tight end go in the first round. So the fact that we have two first-round caliber players is pretty special. We have two very different tight ends that I think will take in the first round. Tyler Warren, like you just mentioned before, and Colston Lovell, the other one from Michigan. Warren, more of your classic tight end, more of like a George Kittle. And Loveland's more of like a Travis Kelce, right? So obviously Warren's going to be the guy that is me a really good blocker in addition to being a really good athlete and obviously a really, really good talented pass catcher as well. Loveland is almost like another receiver out there. The way he moves at his size is absolutely ridiculous. So they're two very different tight ends and two tight ends that we need to need to be used in very different roles, but two equally talented players, in my opinion, that should both be first-round picks.
Is there anybody else that's like outside? You know, a lot of mocks have very similar names going in the top 10. Is there anybody outside of that that you look at, maybe that's right now projected, maybe middle of the first round, back end of the first round, that you think is incredibly undervalued and should be considered to be a higher pick if you were an NFL GM?
Yeah, I think one of them that really stands out is James Pierce Jr., the edge rusher from Tennessee. I've seen some mocks where he goes to the Chiefs or the Eagles at 31 or 32. I think that's how you keep those teams at the top of the NFL, if you let a player like that slip to them. I think he's a top 10 talent in this draft. He's a freak athlete, the edge rusher from Tennessee. And the thing I love about him is that he has been like a top 2 to 3 pass rusher in college football in each of the last 2 years, and he's still pretty raw overall. So the fact that, yes, it is, he's got to develop, obviously, but the fact that he was that dominant in the SEC without many moves to speak of just points to a very, very high ceiling for James Pierce Jr. I personally think Pierce is closer to Abdul Carter than he is to any other edge in this draft.
Big year for running backs. Derrick Henry, a big addition for the Ravens, had a great year. And obviously Saquon Barkley eclipsing 2,000 yards and winning the Super Bowl and probably being the MVP of that team, putting them over the top. I don't know if the value contract-wise will ever get back to what we once thought it was, but I am curious, how does an Ashton Jeanty get looked at now in this draft, given what we just saw Saquon do, and how does he compare to a Saquon Barkley in terms of what you think he'll be as a pro?
Yeah, honestly, it could not have been a better year for Ashton Jeanty, right? He had a record-setting season by almost all PFF metrics. Obviously, he came up just short of Barry Sanders' record, and like you just mentioned right there, there's kind of a resurgence, a renaissance for running backs right now in the NFL. And yeah, I think that's a great thing for Ashton Jeanty, and he should be a top 10 to 15 pick because of it. I think Ashton Jeanty, just in terms of how good of a football player he is, I argue he's the second best player in the draft behind Travis Hunter, honestly. I think it's those two are the best football players in this draft. So I could see Jeanty going top 10, top 15. I think Dallas at number 12 overall feels like his floor almost. He's a special talent, man. And I think, you know, the question is not, is Ashton Jeanty the best running back in this draft? It's like, how does he compare to Saquon Barkley or Bijan Robinson as like the best running back prospects of recent memory? Because both those guys are top 10 picks as well. Jeanty, I think, is on that level, honestly. I think he's that good. And running back's a position where it's pretty easy to scout, right? You kind of know who are the guys coming out of college or not, and it's pretty easily translatable to the NFL. Jeanty is one of those guys. So he could absolutely be a top five running back in the NFL. And I think that in this day and age in the NFL, it's probably worth a top 15 pick.
Well, we talked about Cam Ward. We talked about Shedeur Sanders. I think the over-under on quarterbacks going in the first round is 2.5. Does Max Chadwick like the over? And if he does, who's the third guy?
If I was a GM, I probably wouldn't. I would only take those two, and then the next guy I would take is probably like late second round, early third round. But you never know, right? There's a lot of teams that are pretty desperate for a quarterback. So you could see a guy like Jackson Dart, right? He's a guy that has moved up boards, it feels like, a lot over the last few months. He's a guy that could emerge in this class. So he's definitely a guy to keep an eye on. I don't really think anyone else is a real shot. I know Tyler Shuck from Louisville has gotten a lot of buzz, but I personally don't think he should be going that high. But, yeah, I think Jackson Dart, if there is going to be one that makes it three quarterbacks in the first round, it probably would be Jackson Dart from Ole Miss.
Final one, we'll get you out of here because we do appreciate your time, and I know you got a busy day with work and interviews. Where is the buzz for this draft when you talk with scouts, other football media members, like just the general, hey, this is a great draft. This is going to be kind of a crazy draft. Where is that for this one?
Yeah, I think last year was a very offensive-heavy draft. This year feels very defensive heavy. I think the defensive line class, both at D tackle and edge, is loaded, right? So I think that's great. It's a really good corner class, I feel like, too. The safety class is really good as well. Yeah, I think it's a very defensive heavy draft, and I think it is talented. There are some areas where obviously it's lacking compared to past years. And I think that's why some people think it's a down year for a draft. I don't think it's that much of a down year. I just think at the, you know, major positions like quarterback and wide receiver, it's not as good as years past. But I think a defensive line at running back, it's absolutely loaded as well. I think that's where you can make your living in this draft.
Here we go. Good stuff, man. He's a good friend of the show. He has been for some time. He does great work at PFF.com. It's where you can find him. Max Chadwick, co-host of PFF's College Football Show on Twitter, at CFB Max Chadwick. Max, thanks so much for the time, man. We always appreciate it. Really appreciate it today. Continued success, and hopefully we can catch up with you soon. Enjoy the NFL draft.
Thanks, guys. You too.
All right, there we go. Good stuff from Max Chadwick on the Daily Ticker, which is presented, as always, by our great friends at Pelican Brewing, with four locations along the Oregon coast. Fly over to a Pelican location and enjoy epic views, local brews all year long. Pelican Brewing looks forward to seeing you at the coast. Good stuff from him. Talk a little bit about what he said on some of that stuff. We'll do it next on The Fan. Our apologies. Our YouTube sucks today. So I'll take the brunt of that blame.
God, figure it out, Sprague.
At Brandon Sprague.
Send all your hate mail there.
You can't. Yeah, you can't. I won't check it. No.
He came in and farted on the system, and it just broke. It crapped out.
I won't see your hate towards me because I'm not largely on social media much anymore. Swag says, check it now.
We might be on. I can't tell. We could be.
Thanks, Joey.
Hey, is Joey in here this morning?
Yeah, Joey came in.
Look at that.
White guys probably shouldn't do that,
We got engineers, baby. Love you, Joey. We're up. We're live.
All right, we're back. Look at that.
I think the cameras are a little delayed, so other than, you know, whatever.
Are always delayed.
Yeah, no, like,
there's always a delay.
I think I'm frozen. I think I'm just sitting there staring at you.
Or you're just longing to look in my eyes, my soul.
You were talking about your ball wipes in the commercial break. I'm just staring at you, talking about
that. Yeah, dude, I ordered something online. And I'm not going to say the company, because no. I've actually done stuff with the company in the past. They auto-sent me the same thing I just ordered, but I didn't subscribe to a membership. But they just charged me.
They enrolled you into a membership
without my knowledge.
You are now a member. Welcome to the membership club.
Don't
comes with great benefits, including we're going to automatically renew your order every month, whether you need it or not.
Your southern parts are going to smell amazing.
Now you got to go through the whole process of, now I got to call. Now this is something I have to do when I get off. I got to call. I got to uncheck a box. I got to unsubscribe. It's a whole thing.
Side note, you know what nobody tells you when you keep getting older and older and older? I'm 38 now. I'll be 39 this December.
You old fart.
Nobody. Not a single soul.
Yes, now we got two Sprags. Yes. Oh, two dang Sprags. It. Go back to two Sprags.
Yeah, that might be great.
No, no, I think I'm up now. I think I'm working. I'm working.
Yeah, he's
no, now you froze. Now I'm working and you froze.
Oh, great. I went off this ride.
Wesley said, find somebody who looks at you like Dirt looks at Sprague. That's right. It's true love, right? Oh, now we got two Dirts. Yes.
Two Dirts.
This is why you come. This is why you watch on YouTube. Don't pull that, by the way. This is why you watch on YouTube. It's a fun journey.
Nobody... Maybe somebody's dad. Maybe this is where I fell short because I didn't grow up with a dad. Nobody warned me that in my life, eventually, I was going to have to worry about nose hair.
Yeah, nose hair is a thing.
Boy, buddy, it is.
It's a thing.
It's. I don't know. I know it becomes a thing more for other people, but like...
It hurts to pluck, too. If you ever pluck
I have a
one...
machine.
Yeah, you go machine.
I have a little thing. I like turn it on, stick it up there, and you can hear it cutting all the hair. It doesn't hurt at all. It's great. It grows out of my nostril, and I'm just all the time looking at myself like, what are you, a 60-year-old man?
What is happening? What is that whistling when I'm breathing? This doesn't sound normal. The one that gets me when I'm standing in the mirror, like brushing your teeth before you go to bed or whatever, is when I look and I'll have like a 1-inch long hair on the side of my ear.
Oh, I get that too.
And you're just like, dude, what? How did nobody tell me about
this? When
did
this start?
How long has this been here for? Have I been walking around in public with this long white hair that's hanging off of my ear? How has nobody said anything?
I get one of those on both ears and it doesn't even grow. Like it sometimes is there and then it's not there for a couple months and then it's back again.
Yeah, it grows back quickly.
And I get one of those in the middle of my forehead.
You got a middle forehead ear?
Just a hair? Random hair that grows about an inch and a half long, and I'm like, what the hell? And I'll just pluck it off and it won't be back for 3 months.
You're a unicorn now, man. Congratulations.
I just keeping up with things.
We're getting old, man. We're getting old.
We are kind of getting old.
We're old.
Getting up there.
I feel sore every morning when I get up.
I mean,
up.
To make other people feel old that are older than us, but no. Like, don't you guys, didn't you hate going through this? When did anybody tell you that nose hair was going to be a real thing?
Yeah.
That you had to groom once a week because, my God, they grow long.
38-year-old texting in, I'm self-conscious about my nose hair to the same level I was self-conscious about the food in my braces at 14.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great way
to put
it.
It's a very serious thing. Nobody told you sometimes if you didn't make a double check before you left the cafeteria in middle school that you had food in your braces. You got to keep an eye out on this stuff because you can't be walking around with those hairs sticking out.
Now, I'd have to go through that because my mom was too poor to afford braces. But, man, the friends that had the braces that had that problem, I helped them out.
The struggle was real.
Hey, dude, you got some at the bottom of your brace. Go in the bathroom.
That friend, that's one of the best qualities that Brandon Sprague has as a friend.
I'll always tell you
he'll
when you
let
got
you
a
know.
Booger or you got something in your teeth.
Dude, I had this the other day. We were walking around moving. I had a massive zit during the day grow on my face. And I'm like.
Like a whitehead?
Just a whitehead, yeah. Just sitting there. And I'm like, I looked at the wife at the end of the day. I'm like, hey, any heads up would have been great. How long has this looked like this? I haven't looked in a mirror in like 7 hours. Has this been the case all afternoon? I've been walking around in public. How did you not say anything to me?
I had that over the weekend. I had a random pimple on my chin, and it's still got a little red mark there, but it was, I tried to pop it, it didn't work. That was backfire.
And it came out.
And the next day, I'm walking around, and I'm in a store, and I get into the bathroom, and I look in the mirror, and there's an entire dry patch of skin that looks kind of scabby that clearly needed to be ripped off.
Yeah.
And I go out of my...
it's like blowing in the wind. You get like a strong breeze from a door opening. It's flapping on your chin.
And I go to my wife and I go, why did you not tell me about the skin? She goes, well, it's going to put lotion on it. But then... And I'm like, do something.
What, are you going to walk up with a handful of lotion and just start wiping it on my face without saying anything?
Dry patch of skin.
You got something there. You got something there. Take care of that thing right there.
It's gross.
I look in the mirror. Figure this out. What are we doing?
What are we doing, man?
I don't know. I think we're working now, though. I think we're up. I think both cameras are on. I think we're live.
Joey doesn't... I think Joey is... I have a lot of confidence
Joey figured it out. Joey's the best. He's the master.
Swag?
No.
No offense.
No, we don't know. We don't know what we're doing.
Swag anymore. Thinks things are working when we tell him they're not. He gets mad at us. Except we broke it.
This isn't my job. I don't want to do this. I'm not an engineer.
I mean, he's
got
wrong.
A valid argument, you know?
Wrong.
There's a valid argument there.
We have a lot to get to in the second hour of the program. Dirt and Sprague, hour 2 on the Odyssey app, the Fan, and hey, YouTube next.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.